destined to win. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. Today I want to get into some scripture that we've talked about before, but I think is going to be a real blessing to get back into, and that is Psalm 103. We're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 103 is a tremendous promise to us as believers. And it has so much to say to us. I want to really get into it and just dig into it. So let's begin reading Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. A psalm of David. And we'll stop right there. David, as you know, had all kinds of experiences in life. The big thing is that he would get caught up in things. He got caught up in the lust of the flesh when it came to Bathsheba. He got caught up in a lot of things. But he always came back to the Lord. He always returned to worshiping the Lord, and he was quick to repent. He believed in repentance, and he was quick to repent. And I believe that went a long way. You know, the Word of God says that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, not because of the bad things he did, but because he was quick to repent, because he had insight into spiritual things. Even as a boy, when he was out there, in the hills and so forth with the sheep, and he'd start playing his harp and singing, he would sing these psalms, and that's why he wrote these psalms. They came from his heart. They came from an understanding of spiritual things, and that's why I think they give us a lot of insight. So this is a psalm of David, and notice what he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, we know that we are tripartite in nature. That's a long theological term, but it basically means we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. We live in a physical body. Now, you, the real you, is a spirit being. The real you is a human spirit created in God's own likeness and in his own image. But just like God, who is a spirit and has a body, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, being the body, physical body, and has mind, will, and emotions. And I've often looked at it this way. The Holy Spirit's a spirit. Jesus is a body. The Father God, the mind, will, and emotions, the wisdom. And all of that together, the tripartite nature of the Trinity, comes together in one God. God is one, but he is personified in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, the human being, you and I, are a spirit. We have a mind, will, and emotions. We live in a physical body. So we are also triune in nature. It's part of what I believe we're created in God's image. It goes more than just that we look, like God in terms of two eyes and two ears and mouth and so forth. No, it's more than that. It's that tripartite nature, that triune nature. And we don't fully understand that the way we should. If we would understand the triune nature of ourselves, we might have a better understanding of God's triune nature, the Trinity. Now, I'm not claiming to understand the Trinity fully. Don't get me wrong. That is a mystery that I believe is hidden in God and will be revealed to us one day when we finally do see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and can understand that relationship better. But I think if we think about ourselves being a spirit, having a mind, will, and emotions, a soulish area, living in a physical body, that at least gives us some insight. That's all I'm saying. Amen. All right. So let's go back to this. Notice David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's talking or addressing, he's speaking to his soul. He's telling his soul, "Soul, bless the Lord." He's saying to his soul. Now notice, he is a human spirit. He is speaking to his soul and addressing it, and he's saying, "Soul, mind, will, emotions, you need to bless the Lord." Your mind, your will, and your emotions should be under the direction of your human spirit. You are a spirit. And you, the real you, needs to reign over your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people live controlled by their mind, controlled by their will, controlled by their emotions, and not controlled by their spirit man. You've got to get a hold of that. You've got to be spirit directed, spirit oriented. So that's why he says, listen, soul, you need to bless the Lord. Then he goes on to say, and all that is within me. This covers the whole area of man. Body, you need to bless the Lord. Mind, will, emotions, you need to bless the Lord. Spirit being, you need to bless the Lord. We need to bless the Lord with every area, every part of our body, and our spirit, and our soul. Amen? Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. Now, what do you forget with? If you're going to forget, you're going to forget with your mind, your will, your emotions, your soulish area. That's why he's speaking to his soul. He's saying, soul, don't forget the benefits of the Lord. Now, I've used this example before. If you go to work for a large company, there are usually benefits that you get as well as getting your salary, getting paid. You have benefits. Maybe there's health benefits. Maybe there's other kinds of benefits. But those benefits are clearly spelled out in a document that you usually get when you sign up with that company. Maybe it's a booklet, and you read through the whole booklet, and you see what all the benefits are. Well, he's saying here that there are benefits in being a believer. There are benefits with being a child of God. And unfortunately, your soulish realm can forget those benefits and not lay hold on those benefits. You've got to lay hold on the benefits. And in order to do that, you got to know what they are. You got to remember them. So how do you do that? You read the booklet. You read the Bible. You find out what the Bible has to say your benefits are, and then you adhere to those benefits. You lay claim to those benefits. You could have a benefit at work that's spelled out in your benefits brochure, and if you didn't adhere to it, if you didn't demand that that benefit be met, it might not be met. But you have every right to say, wait a minute, it's spelled out right here. This is a benefit. I want to receive the full benefit of this benefit. All right? So how do you do that? Don't forget the benefits. Then he starts to list some of the benefits. In verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now that's a tremendous, tremendous benefit of being a believer. All your sins are forgiven. All of them. 100%. All your sins. So you need to lay hold on that benefit. A lot of people say, well, yeah, okay, I lay hold on that because, you know, I'm going to heaven and my sins are forgiven, praise the Lord. Yeah, but we're talking day in and day out, too. You make mistakes. You do things you shouldn't do, or you don't do things you should do. You know, theologically speaking, that's called sins of omission and sins of commission. In other words, you commit certain sins. Sometimes you omit things you should do, and that is also sin. But all your sins are forgiven. You need to live in a state of forgiveness. When you do something wrong, as Brother Kenneth Copeland says, don't run away from God. Run to God. Claim the benefit of forgiveness. Father, look, I messed up. I missed it. I shouldn't have done what I did. But I lay hold on the benefit of forgiveness, and all my iniquities are forgiven. In Jesus' name. You know, 1 John 1:9. Confess the sin in your life, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a benefit you need to lay hold of, not neglect. He goes on to say, who healeth all thy diseases. That doesn't matter what disease you're talking about. It might be cancer. It might be bronchitis. It might be, tuberculosis. I don't know. Whatever the disease might be, all diseases are healed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus bore all your diseases, all your sicknesses. You are delivered from everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if his sacrifice, if his dying on the cross, if his receiving the stripes that he received, if everything that Jesus went through wasn't enough, where else are you going to go? What else are you going to do? It had to have been provided entirely by what Jesus did. And thank the Lord it was. Praise God. All your iniquities, all your diseases. That's 100%. There aren't any more than all. Amen? Yeah, but Dr. Bill, what about AIDS? AIDS came along recently in the historical terms. Hey, all is all. Jesus bore all sickness and disease on the cross. Amen. So whatever you're facing, he bore it. Whatever you're facing, you have the benefit of healing as a believer. Let's keep going with our list here. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now that's a broad benefit. And I like those broad benefits, the ones that cover a lot. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Car accident is destruction. Damage during a windstorm, that's destruction. Financial ruin is destruction. Anything that kills, steals, or destroys. Now who's the killer, the stealer, and the destroyer? That's right, it's the devil. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's the devil. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. So, all destruction, all killing, all stealing, all destroying, he's redeemed you from that. Now see, again, this is a benefit you need to center up on. You need to bear down on. You need to put some pressure on the Word of God. You know, God wants you to put pressure on his Word. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at it this way. Instead of rolling over and letting destruction come upon you, instead of taking it, you know, you get a bill in the mail and you go, where in the world did this come from? Why are they sending this? Instead of just taking it and saying, oh, what am I going to, I guess I'll just have to pay it, I'll figure it out. No, take it, set it down in front of you and say, I don't receive this destruction to my finances. I have a benefit that says that my life is redeemed from destruction. My life is redeemed from Satan trying to steal my finances. Satan, you are a thief. You have been found, and you're going to have to restore sevenfold. See, put some pressure on the benefits. Put some pressure on the Bible. You see what I mean by that? In other words, God doesn't mind when you put pressure on the promises he's made. Matter of fact, he's thrilled by that. He's excited by the fact that his children trust him and know that when he says something like this, he means it. He wants you to take advantage of it. See, it's in your best interest to use the resources you have available to you as a believer. And this is one of the resources. So let's keep reading. He redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, this is really great. What he's talking about here. God crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God is for you. Let's just put it down. Let's get it down to brass tacks here. God is for you. He is not against you. And if God be for you, who can successfully remain against you? See, he is constantly crowning you with loving kindness. crowning you with tender mercies. He wants to bless you. He is a blessor, and he wants to be a blessing. Amen. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. See, God likes to provide for his kids. As a parent, you probably like to provide for your kids. You like it when they enjoy certain things. You like it when they get excited about something that maybe you provided for them. You know, the old adage of a kid at Christmas, you know, that kid is sitting there and he's surrounded by presents. He opens them up and he just gets more and more excited. Wow, this is great, you know. And you watch them and you don't even open your presents. You're too excited watching them open their presents. Well, God likes it when his kids enjoy what he's providing. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, going back to that picture of that kid at Christmas, you know, it's you're never seen more alive and excited than when they're sitting there opening those neat presents, things that they wanted. Well, God blesses us, and he wants us to enjoy good things. Matter of fact, the Word of God says he has given us all things richly to do what? To enjoy. See, a lot of people look at it as, well, you know, God may be providing this, but he certainly doesn't want me to enjoy it. I mean, we got to be humble, and we got to make sure that we don't enjoy things too much. I mean, this is the attitude that I've seen people get into. One example that Brother Copeland gave one time, he was talking about how, I believe, if I remember the story correctly, it was Gloria's grandfather, and they gave him an expensive, nice watch. And Gloria put the watch on him, and her grandfather looked at it and went, I can't wear this. This is too nice. And he took it off. And she said, Grandpa, put that back on. I bought that for you. I want you to wear it. I want you to enjoy it. Oh, no, this is too good for me. And finally, Brother Copeland had to say, are you going to disappoint your granddaughter by not wearing the present she got you? And basically shamed him into wearing the watch. Now, you see, some people look at that and say, oh, he was being humble. No, he wasn't. He was being stupid. She had given him the watch because she wanted him to wear the watch. She wouldn't have given it to him if she hadn't wanted him to wear it and to have it and to use it and to get the benefit out of it and to enjoy it. And so that false humility that people have been trained into prevents them from enjoying the very things that God has blessed them with. And God, like we just said, has given us all, there's that word again, all things. Now that's things. That's physical things. Richly, so he's not holding back on us, to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the things. Now I will say this, he doesn't want us to get so things conscious and caught up in the things by themselves. You know, get so caught up in your new car that's all you think about, all you talk about, all you want to do is go out and polish that car. That's getting caught up in the things. But enjoying them, there's nothing wrong with that. Get in it. Ride down the road. Enjoy the car. You know, whatever that thing is, as long as it doesn't have you, it's okay for you to have it. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants you to richly enjoy your things. And he's provided them for you to enjoy them. So you need to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. Part of the life of prosperity that God has put before us is to enjoy the life he's given us and the things he's given us, and to do it in the right frame of mind. Not in a covetous frame of mind, but just to enjoy what he's blessed us with. And then he may speak to you to give it away. You give it away. And don't hold on to it and let it hold on to you. But just freely give. Freely receive. Freely give. And in the meantime, enjoy it, praise the Lord. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now see, we need, and let me go back to this example of the eagle. The reason they use that example is because an eagle, the outer feathers of an eagle get, what's the word I'm looking for? They begin to age. They begin to get rough looking. The oil that keeps them looking shiny and nice, you know, kind of begins to diminish. And those feathers get kind of worn out as that eagle ages. And so what the eagle does is he'll go up to a high mountain and he'll start pulling those older feathers out. And you think, what in the world is he doing? Looks like he's tearing himself apart. But that makes room for new feathers to grow in, and those new feathers are clean and shiny and new. And when that eagle is finished with that process and flies away, you look at that eagle and say, wow, he looks years younger. Well, this is what he's talking about here. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. That eagle goes from looking old and dull and worn out to looking new and young and healthy. And it's a renewal process. Well, there's some of us got a little miles on the speedometer, if you understand what I mean. But you should constantly be having your youth renewed like that eagle, re-energized, reinvigorated. And see, this comes from remembering the benefits, taking advantage of the benefits. This having your youth renewed like an eagle, see, that's, you got to bear down on that one. You got to put some pressure on that one. Father God, I thank you that my youth is renewed. I thank you that my body works and functions like a young man's body, that it doesn't age out. You know, I don't have to slow down in my old age, so to speak. Matter of fact, personally, just speaking for myself, I'm not even close to old age. I'm barely getting into middle age. You know, 120 years, middle age would be 60. I'm not there yet. I'm not even the middle age. So, hey, my youth's renewed like the eagles. And the same thing is true of you. You might say, well, Dr. Bill, I'm 80 some odd years old. Well, you're barely over middle age then. You just getting a good start. So you ought to look at that 120 as a promise and a benefit. And so gauge yourself based on that. Don't gauge yourself based on our concepts in these days of age. Let me give you an example of that even. Do you know that there was a time not that long ago that 40 years old was considered an old man? In other words, these were the days before a lot of medical advances and the human race basically just looked at, I get to about 20, to them that was about middle-aged, and then when they got to 40, they were an old man. And I'm talking in the days of the West, you know, the cowboys. They didn't live much past 40. Very few got into their 50s. That was considered really old. Now, see, it's hard for us to think about that because we live in a time where we are fairly regularly seeing people 80, 90, 100 years old. And it's not even that unusual. Used to, 100 years old was like, wow, 100, you made it to 100, wow. Now, there are literally thousands and thousands of people that live to see 100, and it's not a big deal. And matter of fact, a lot of people that are 100 years old are acting like they were 50. Well, praise the Lord. We need to get in our mind's eye, we need to envision and realize that 120 is basically, you might say, the lifespan that we as believers have before us. So we look at 60 as middle age, and I'm not being facetious. That's the way we look at it, because that's middle of 120. So like I say, I'm not even the middle age yet. I'm still a young whippersnapper. And we need to start thinking this way. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Gloria Copeland's been talking about live long and live strong. Now, you know, she's getting up towards 70 or so. I don't know her exact age, but it's in that neighborhood. But she doesn't look it. Matter of fact, she talks about... I love this. She talks about watching the crazy commercials they have on TV, you know, where it says, I'm 70 years old. Isn't this amazing? Because she just had a facelift or whatever. And Gloria said, I hate that commercial. Because she's not having facelifts and all this junk done to look young. She looks young because her youth is renewed like the eagles. She's putting the pressure on the spiritual side, not on the natural side. And that's really what I'm, that's ultimately what I'm coming to in this message today. Start putting pressure on the benefits that God has promised you. Start confessing. Father, I thank you, you forgive all my iniquities. I thank you that you heal all my diseases. I thank you that my life is redeemed from destruction. I'm not going to put up with destruction in my life. I thank you that you crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I thank you that you satisfy my mouth with good things and that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You put pressure on the scripture, on the benefits, and you stand for that and don't let it slip, because if you'll stand for it, I tell you, God, it brings a smile to God's face. He's excited about it. Amen? Amen. Well, we're about out of time. We're going to have to go. I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. My address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. And, of course, as usual, you can write me at my email address. That's quicker. It's easier, probably, to write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Now, I want to mention our website to you. Go to our website, WOFM.org. Take advantage of all the good stuff we've got there. We've got videos like this one. We've got teaching messages that you can either listen to online or you can download. We've got articles that you can read. Just all kinds of good resources. And matter of fact, if you click on the history button there on the website, you can go back and look at old newsletters that were published all the way back to 1979 and forward from that, and pictures, photographs of the ministry and history of the ministry. It'd just be a blessing to you to check it out. So go do that. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God. We'll be right back.